Here we are with Congressman Jim McGovern from the beautiful 2nd District in Massachusetts, right next door to the place I live, the 1st District of Massachusetts. I wanted to ask you, Jim, what about the anniversary of Bloody Sunday? Last year you joined John Lewis, who has since died, on a civil rights trip. What are you thinking about these days in terms of what John Lewis would be pressuring for in this Congress?
So John Lewis would always remind us that, you know, the right to vote is a sacred right. It's a special right, and we should never take it for granted. That people gave an awful lot for that right. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears were sacrificed to win the right to vote. And that right to vote has been expanded over the years. And here we are in 2021, again, fighting to protect the right to vote for every single person in this country. It's like these old fights that happened in the 50s and 60s are now our new fights, because Republicans have decided that the way, only way they can win elections is by basically making it more difficult for people to vote. And so I think of John Lewis an awful lot during these, not only the anniversary of Bloody Sunday, but also I think of him all the time. Because so much of what he fought for all his life is now under attack. And it's hard to believe that there are people who want to move us backwards, but there are, and we need to do all we can to resist that.
Yeah. That brings me to the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act. George Floyd, we all saw it. We all saw that cop with his foot on the neck of Floyd, and Floyd saying he couldn't breathe. What is it that would make anybody vote against a bill like that, and what's in it?
Yeah. Well, first of all, what happened to George Floyd, unfortunately, was not unique. What was different is that a young teenager videotaped it for the whole world to see. So there's no denying what happened to George Floyd. I have great admiration and respect for the men and women who serve in law enforcement. They protect our lives and our communities. The Capitol Police protected my life on January 6th when the Capitol was attacked. And so I am grateful to them. But there are many instances, sadly, all throughout the country where we have police departments where systemic racism is still a problem. And that is what we saw happen with George Floyd. So the bill that we're trying to move forward would do things like end racial and religious profiling. It would ban chokeholds and no-knock warrants. It would limit military equipment that on American streets. It requires body cameras. It would hold bad cops accountable in courts of law. I mean, it would empower communities to reimagine public safety in an equitable and just way. And we ought to be having these discussions. And it's not – to have these discussions is not an indictment of every police officer. It is simply an acknowledgement of reality in this country and a determination for us to do better.
Are you satisfied, Jim McGovern, with the way in which the COVID vaccine has been rolled out?
In Massachusetts, no, I haven't been. And I'm not saying that to take a swipe, at the governor. I know they're all trying to do the best they can, but other states have, quite frankly, done it better than we have. So we need to get it right. It was complicated. My own mother had a ton of difficulty in trying to log on to be able to even get an appointment. And then, she lives in Worcester, but the closest place she could get an appointment that would take her was in Gardner. So, I mean, it was like, this doesn't make a lot of sense. So I think some of the initial problems are being worked out, but we need to get the vaccine in the arms of everybody all across the state in every part of the state as quickly as possible.
How would you like to do that? In other words, is there something...
The ability for people to make an appointment ought to be easier, number one. Two, we ought to have more places where you can get the vaccine. We ought to be working with employers all across the country, all across the state, to help them be part of this effort. I mean, we're Massachusetts. We're known for our ingenuity and our innovation. I mean, clearly, there has to be a better way to do this. And my hope is that, in the next couple of months, that all the problems will be worked out and everybody will get a vaccine.
Let me jump to another important subject. President Biden has some very good polls, but how do you think he's doing?
I think he's doing good. I judge people on their accomplishments, right? On what they're doing, as well as, what they want to do. And I think Joe Biden's heart is in the right place. I'm really proud of the American Rescue Act that he is championing. This is the most progressive piece of legislation that has advanced in Congress in my lifetime. It's going to help lift children out of poverty, among other things, right? It is going to help save this economy and provide more direct assistance to our cities and towns to help deal with this this pandemic that has plagued us for so many months now. So, this is a big deal. And it would not be happening if it were not for his leadership and the leadership of Vice President Kamala Harris. So, he's trying to address the inequities, in our criminal justice system. He's trying to deal with the horrific immigration policies of the previous administration. He cares about people who are struggling in this country. He has a conscience and he has a heart. And so, so far, so good. I want to cheer him on. And I hope this is the beginning of more great things to come.
So this is our first conversation since January 6th. You are a very busy man, and I so appreciate your being with us today. And the Capitol siege, Donald Trump's second impeachment. Do you feel safe in the Capitol now, Jim McGovern?
Yeah, I do. As I'm speaking to you from my office in the Capitol, it's just like a fortress. It's hard to get in here, and it's hard to get out of here. So, I think we need to move toward a place where we don't have fencing all around the Capitol. This is the people's house, and we have to make sure it's accessible to the people. Look, we need to take very seriously the threat of domestic terrorism. We need to acknowledge that we have a white supremacy problem in this country that's grown during the last 4 years, and we have to adjust accordingly. But it would be a mistake if the United States Capitol continued for a long period of time to be enclosed in this, with barbed wire fence all around the place. I mean, we have to find a way to open this place up and do so in a way that protects the people who work here. Some recommendations were made recently by General Honoré, who was appointed to review the security situation here. He's calling for more Capitol Police officers, some other plans, contingency plans that need to be in place in case we see another attack like we did on January 6th. So let's take those recommendations and see what we can do. But we got to open this building up again.
Now, you were hailed by many of us, me included, as being one of the major, if not the major, hero of January 6th. You were not going to let them subvert democracy. You called everybody back into session. You went back into session. Was that difficult to come by in your own mind, or did you just say, we have to do it this way?
Yeah. Look, I felt very strongly that the people who attacked us could not win, right? This was an insurrection. They tried to subvert the will of the American people. Look, I was one of the last people off the House floor. I was chairing the session when they attacked. I had no idea that they had breached the Capitol in the manner that they did. It wasn't until I walked off the floor and I was in the speaker's lobby that has glass doors that I actually came face to face with this mob. There were three Capitol Police officers standing between them and this glass door, and they were banging and breaking the glass in the door. And I looked at them in disbelief and with anger and sadness, to be honest with you. And I said to the person next to me, these people aren't here to make a political point. They're not here to hand us a pamphlet. They're here to kill us, and they're here to desecrate and destroy this sacred building. And so I'll never forget that as long as I live. I mean, if you ask me to describe what evil looks like, I will tell you it was looking into the eyes of these people who were, you know, banging and destroying the Capitol property, who broke the glass. I mean, as soon as I left that room to start walking out of the theater, that's when the woman was shot. It was a terrible, terrible day. And I'm going to just say this finally, and that is, I'll never forgive Donald Trump for instigating this. And I'm having a tough time dealing with some of my colleagues who gave oxygen to this big lie that resulted in this attack. And I'm still a little bit, well, more than a little bit, still very angry at those who, even after the attack, came back and voted to nullify and overturn the legitimate results of the presidential election. It's just hard for me to put my head around that. Some feelings are still a little bit raw around here.
Well, Jim McGovern, you're a great hero. Certainly to me you are. And we're going to come back the last time and for the last of our conversations, and I'm going to ask you to follow up a little bit on that.
Thank you.